Well, let me extend my welcome to you as well. As to Matt's before, it's great that you could come out here this evening and join with us. About 5 or 6 years ago, I think it was back in 2008, one of the most remarkable things ever to occur on the internet happened. I know the internet's chock full of all kind of weird and wacky things, but this one's got to be up there. Have a listen to this true story. Ian Usher, a 44-year-old British immigrant, we've got a picture of him on this next slide, it's not particularly clear, but you can get a feel for it. Ian Usher, living in Perth at the time, auctioned his life on the internet through eBay. In the days leading up to the auction, he wrote web diaries and posted videos that showcased his hobbies, told what his interests were, showed his lifestyle in Perth and what that was like, attempting to attract buyers. Buyers who would purchase his life. When bidding started, the price rose to more than $2 million, only for that to be shown to be hoax bids, bogus buyers. In the end, although he'd hoped for a figure around the $500,000 mark, when this 7-day worldwide online auction closed, Ian Usher's life sold for $399,000, just short of $400,000. What did the buyer receive? Well, Ian Usher's home, his vehicles, his furniture, the prospect of a job, and access to his friends. In short, Ian Usher's life. Here's what the man himself, Ian Usher, said about the whole thing. He said, "I intend to walk out of my front door with my wallet in one pocket and my passport in the other, nothing else, and get on the train with no idea where I'm going or what the future holds for me." That's weird stuff, isn't it? Selling your life on the internet. But Ian Usher's weird act, it raises a question for us, doesn't it? What is our life worth? What is our life worth? How much would your life go for on eBay? What would be your asking fee? What would you be happy with? $500,000? $2 million? $399,000? Interestingly, centuries before Ian Usher's weird and wacky idea, Jesus spoke about these very same issues, about how much life is worth. And if we're prepared to hear him, we might just be a bit surprised as to what Jesus says about your life and mine. Have a listen to this. It's printed for you in your insert in the bulletins, or you can read along in your Bible. It's from Matthew chapter 16, and we're just going to be looking at these three verses, 24, 25 and 26. So let me start with the one that's numbered 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. For what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'm sure you've received invitations to things before, birthdays, anniversaries, retirements, performances. Jesus here holds out an invitation to us. It's not really an invitation that you'd normally receive. In fact, I'd be surprised if you ever received an invitation like this one. First verse, first sentence there on the printout. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There you have it. There is Jesus' invitation. If you want to come after Jesus, which is really just another way of saying if you want to be a Christian, then this is what it looks like. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Now, I don't know what you thought being a Christian was like or what it was all about before you walked into church tonight. Maybe you thought it was somehow connected with genetic, some kind of hereditary thing. You know, perhaps some people are Christian just because they happen to be in that particular kind of family. Like there's something that's passed on from one generation to the next. And, well, if you happen to miss out on that, well, that's it for you. Christianity, it's just not for you. Or perhaps you thought being a Christian was all about being good and doing good things. Christians are good people, you think. They don't get drunk, they don't sleep around, they don't swear, and they do good stuff. They go to church, they help people, they give money to noble causes. Being a Christian, well, surely it's all about being good and doing good, isn't it? Or maybe you thought being a Christian doesn't actually look that much different from anything else, really. Christians go to a church on Sunday to do their thing, just like Muslims go to a mosque. And those with no particular religious connection might go to Westfield Miranda or ANZ Stadium to do their kind of thing on the weekend. Christians look to the Bible for direction. Muslims look to the Quran. Others look to star signs in papers or magazines or advice from friends. Different form, sure, but underneath it's really all the same thing, isn't it? All looking for something to make sense of life. And if what works for you, then it's all good, isn't it? I'd like to suggest tonight that if we want to find out what it means to be a Christian, a pretty good place to start would be with the one who gave it its name. Don't you think it'd be wise to choose into what Jesus Christ says about what it means to be a Christian? If you want to strip everything back, if you want to get back to the basics, then surely listening to Jesus and what he has to say makes sense. And so here it is again. Here's what Jesus has to say about the matter. Here's his invitation. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does that mean? Well, let's have a think about the different parts here. First off, deny himself. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean first off. It's not denying yourself certain things at certain times. You know, going without chocolate for a month or going without coffee for, well, it's going to say a week, let's be realistic, for a day, maybe. It's not that. It's not denying certain things to yourself. It's more extreme than that. It's denying yourself. Denying yourself. It means giving up on living life the way you want to. It means handing over the reins of your life to someone else. Where you only ever did things that affirmed yourself, now you do things to affirm another. Where you only ever concentrated on what served your own interest, now you concentrate on what serves the interests of others, of another. Where you were previously fixed on becoming as prosperous as you could be, now you're fixed on the prosperity of another. Denying yourself means giving up on the business of running your life the way you want to and voluntarily putting yourself under new management. Deny himself. And take up his cross? Well, again, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. You might have heard people talk about some experience in life or some difficulty in their life, and they'll say, we all have our cross to bear, don't we? That's not what Jesus means here. The people Jesus was talking to would have been left in no doubt whatsoever as to what he meant. They'd seen people who'd taken up their cross. And there was only ever one place where they were headed, to their death. When you take up your cross, what you're doing is you're saying goodbye to the old you. You're turning your back on the you that put your dreams and your aspirations and your agenda as top priority. What Jesus is saying here about taking up your cross is as extreme as saying, you come and die. And in finishing his invitation by saying, follow me, he's backing that up, isn't he? You see, we read the section just before this part earlier. Matt read it for us. Because Jesus tells us there exactly where he's going. Follow me, he says here. Well, follow him where? Well, have a listen to what he's just said from verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Following Jesus, well, it means following one who's on his way to death, on his way to be killed. So what does it look like to come after Jesus? According to Jesus himself, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. In short, lose your life. That captures Jesus' invitation here pretty well. Come after me, lose your life. What's more, I'm sure it wouldn't have escaped your notice that this applies to whoever wants to come after Jesus. Anyone who desires to be a Christian. There's no other way. There's no wriggle room here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must. You see, what's the impossible application of what Jesus says here? What's the impossible way of understanding his invitation? It's thinking that there's some other way you can come after him, isn't it? It's thinking that your definition of what it means to be a Christian sits there quite nicely right alongside his definition of what it means to be a Christian. There is no other way. There is no other definition. This is it. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's Jesus' one and only invitation. Lose your life. Lose your life. It's a big call, isn't it? That's extreme what Jesus says here, isn't it? And it probably seems like a strange part of the Bible to look at tonight, of all nights. Perhaps you come into church regularly and you've been brave and you've brought along a friend and you're wondering, what is he doing? Why did he have to go and choose those words of Jesus? Couldn't he have chosen something a bit more, you know, positive, a bit more user-friendly? We've put on these special meetings here at church this morning and tonight, and we've put them on because we want people to become Christians. We were out in the town square yesterday, getting to know people, making contact with people, because ultimately we want them to hear about Jesus and respond rightly to him. What I've said so far tonight, it's not exactly the slogan for winning friends and influencing people, is it? Becoming a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, it means losing your life. But it's good to be upfront about something, isn't it? It's good to be upfront about this because it's no small thing, being a Christian. Clearly, Jesus didn't think it a light or a trivial thing. We need to see that for what it is. It's also a good part of the Bible to look at, though, because of what Jesus goes on to say. Why RSVP? Why would you reply to such a big call, such an extreme invitation, and say, yes, I accept, I'm signing on, I'm in? Why would you RSVP in the affirmative to that kind of invitation? I think the answers for why you do it, why you'd accept Jesus' invitation, they're found in what Jesus goes on to say. Why RSVP? Well, firstly, because the inviter, Jesus, knows that by losing your life, you'll actually save it. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Lose your life to save it. But that's what Jesus says. Have a look at sentence 25 with me. He's just given the invitation, and now he says, number 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So here's the thing. We think that by looking after ourselves, and by looking after number one, that's how we preserve our life, how we keep our life. And so off we go in life, working hard at doing life our way, becoming more and more preoccupied with my life, thinking that all along we're saving our life, only for us to lose all of it in the end. If you want to try and save your life in that way, you'll lose it. Now, Jesus, he knows better, doesn't he? He knows far better than we do. And he's loving enough to tell us so. Jesus knows that it's when you turn your back on your life, that's actually when you get your life. He knows that when you throw your life away for him, that's when you find it. He knows that when you quit thinking that life's all about you and start realising that it's actually all about him, that's when you start living. I mean, really living. By accepting his call to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, by RSVPing to his invitation to lose your life, that's actually how you save it. What is his promise? Whoever loses his life for me will find it. That's Jesus' promise. Which ultimately deep down is what we want, isn't it? That's what we're really after. We don't want to get something as important as our life wrong. But that's what so many of us do, don't we? Travel blindly through life, supposing that we're saving our life by concentrating on the temporary, when all along we're missing out on the eternal, the permanent. The thing that we can have by losing our life for him, for Jesus. So why RSVP? Well, firstly, because the inviter knows, Jesus knows, that by losing your life for him, you'll actually save it. And secondly, because the inviter knows that there's nothing more valuable than your life. Why RSVP to Jesus' invitation? It's because Jesus knows there's nothing more valuable than your life. Have a look at sentence at verse 26 with me. 26. He says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul or his life? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What good will it be to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? No good at all. No good at all. It will do you absolutely no good if it means forfeiting your soul, your life. You could acquire all the possessions that the world has to offer. You could gain all the riches that are out there. Imagine that. Gain the whole world. And most of Australia, most of us by our actions, we seem to be intent on trying to do exactly that. But Jesus knows that whatever it might be, it is already too high a price to pay. You're going to come out at a loss in the red every single time. You put anything on those balance scales with your soul, your life on the other end, and you know which way it's going to tip each and every time. Life will always win out. Jesus knows there's nothing more valuable than your life. You could even gain the whole world, he says. But if you forfeit, if you surrender, if you give up your soul, your life, it'll do you absolutely no good. What a remarkable thing to say. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. There's nothing you can give in exchange for your soul. In exchange for your life. No, there's no possession, no matter how expensive. There's no bank balance, no matter how respectable, that you can take in and use to do a deal on life. In the stock market of the universe, shares in life, shares in soul, they're the top trader each and every day. Ian ushers 399,000, half a million, 2 million. You've got to be kidding. We sell ourselves too far short, don't we? Way too short. There is no equivalent. There's no substitute for life, according to Jesus. Jesus' invitation, lose your life. Why RSVP? Because the inviter knows that by losing your life for him, you will save it. Because the inviter knows there is nothing more valuable than your life. You see, ultimately, Jesus, he isn't anti-life. Maybe you've sometimes thought of him like that. He's stingy. He doesn't have my best interests at heart. He doesn't really know me. He'll cramp my style. Jesus isn't anti-life. He's not even anti your life. He's anti your preoccupation with your life. That's what he is. He's against you being so focused and so centred on you and your life to the exclusion of everything else. He's against that because he knows that your preoccupation with living life your way will bring the greatest danger and damage upon you in the end. Jesus isn't anti-life. He's actually the ultimate pro-life campaigner. He's shown it by revealing things about your life and mine right here in this part of the Bible that we've looked at. He's shown you that losing your life for him is actually the way that you save it. He's shown it by telling you that there's nothing more valuable than your life. That's how pro-life he is. I'll tell you something more. Jesus hasn't just talked it. He has walked it as well, hasn't he? He has walked it. He's not just holding out empty promises, empty words here. He has shown you just how pro your life he is by giving his life for you. You see, inviting you to lose your life, that's a big call, isn't it? That's an extreme invitation. You're not going to get one of those in the mail. Who would make an invitation like that? But you know what? Jesus isn't asking for more than he's prepared to give himself. He was willing to give himself for you, wasn't he? Later in this book in Matthew, we're told that he gives his life dying on the cross for you. You want to see how pro-life Jesus is? Look at his death. The fact that he has given his life. And look at the fact that he rises again. To show you that losing your life really is the way to save it in the end. Because he rose again, didn't he? Jesus' death and resurrection for you, they demonstrate just how valuable your life is to him. That he should do that for you. So the question is, will you RSVP to this invitation? Will you come after Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him? It's what being a Christian looks like. It's what being a Christian means according to Jesus. As extreme as it is, you'll do it when you realise that what Jesus says about your life is right, it's true, it's loving. That by losing your life for him, you actually save it. And that there's nothing more valuable than your life. You'll do it, you'll RSVP when you realise what Jesus was doing when he died and rose again for you. If that is you, if you want to RSVP to Jesus' invitation, in a minute I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to talk to God. have a listen to what I'm going to say and see if it reflects where you're at tonight. I'm going to say this. Dear God, I'm sorry I've tried to save my life by living it for me. Thank you for showing me that by losing my life, I actually save it. Thank you for showing me that there's nothing more valuable than my life. Thank you that Jesus gave his life to save mine. I want to lose my life for him. If that's what you'd like to say to God, I'm going to pray that prayer now, and you can echo it in your heart, in your mind to God as we speak to him. Let's pray together. Dear God, I'm sorry I've tried to save my life by living it for me. Thank you for showing me that by losing my life, I actually save it. Thank you for showing me that there's nothing more valuable than my life. Thank you that Jesus gave his life to save mine. I want to lose my life for him. Amen. If tonight was the first time you've said something like that to God, then tonight's a special night. Like other special things, it'd be great to share that with someone, maybe someone you came with, or maybe talk to Madam herself. If you're still thinking things through, let me encourage you to do just that. Not to put it off, not to leave it for another day. And there are different things that we can suggest to help you as you think that through more. Thanks for listening.